Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
For one last time on this podcast, up the Sundowns,
up
baby.
The effing Sundowns, man.
Up the
Sundowns. The sky's the limit.
And screw Kaiser Chiefs.
Yeah, and Orlando Pirates. Fuck them. Fuck them.
Welcome back to another episode of the 6 Yard Box Podcast for episode 108, where we continue our coverage of the Club World Cup, and we have finished with the inaugural version of the new and improved group stage.
Beautiful.
I am here joined by European champion Antoine. How are you feeling, my friend?
I'm feeling great.
Your team back to winning ways.
Yes, it was needed, but it was also against Seattle, so that should have happened. We're not over the moon.
Today we're giving our preview of the Club World Cup knockout stages, predicting our brackets, which has never gone wrong, ever.
not for Naps at least.
We're talking about some teams that have really impressed us, some teams that we're worried about going into the final 16. I have a little question here to start out for you.
Let's hear it.
How's your experience been like watching the Club World Cup? Like, are you like now sold on it?
So there's the positives and the negatives. The positives is that there's been a fair amount of upsets and of teams that have surprised me in this tournament. Botafogo, Flamengo, Mamelodi Sundowns, even though they're out now. Unfortunately, we'll get onto that. There's been a lot of positives. I think the level of football as well has been more than good. It's been very enjoyable. The very notable negatives, there's one specifically for me. It's the weather delays.
Yeah.
And it worries me a lot because so far we've had, I think, 4 weather delays, close to 5 with yesterday's game, Real Madrid-Salzburg, almost getting canceled.
I didn't even know that.
So at this exact time next year, we are going to have the FIFA World Cup, the main World Cup.
Yep.
In the same spot that it's being held at right now.
With the same weather delays.
With the same probably. Weather delays. And with more teams, with more games. True. How many games are going to get canceled or moved to a later date or postponed because of that? I think it's going to be...
That's a good point, actually.
It can be very difficult to follow the FIFA World Cup next year just because of that.
Yeah.
But as a whole, if you're talking just strictly the football and the level of football that's being played, I'm not complaining one bit.
Yeah, the weather delays are concerning, but what can FIFA do? That's kind of my perspective about it.
That is fair.
Like, what do you like?
But it's almost like nowadays, they stop the games in precaution.
Yeah, that I don't.
Before,
love.
Like back in the day, it used to be you used to see one lightning, and then
back in the day it was like last year.
No, like 20, like
Denmark, Germany. I remember that.
Yeah,
now.
Like you'd see lightning, and then you'd call the game off. Now it's there might be lightning. Let's stop the game for a second. You know what I mean?
No, I feel that for sure. Utter woke nonsense, I fear. Same thing in F1, I'm feeling. But yeah, I feel like there's also concerns for me about player health, player safety. We had Rodri come back from a little ACL injury. I can't help it.
He played a full 90 yesterday? First full 90 since he's back?
He played like 70, 75.
Was it 75?
He's played 75, okay. I believe. But, you know, just logically, if this Club World Cup wasn't going on, he would have more time to recover.
For
right?
sure.
So are these games going to add up? Is this going to lead to more injuries? I guess only time will tell. This is only something that happens every like 4 years, but then players also only get, like if you're a top player, you have Club World Cup, you have Euro/Copa America, you have the World Cup. Like you only get one summer off every 4 years, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And if you're a young player, you got Olympics in there as well. It's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, there's a Euro U19s right now. Actually, that the Dutch one. But there's also the Euro U20?
U21. Yeah.
Portugal in the final of that? No, right? It's Germany.
No, we got
Germany,
knocked
England.
Out. Yeah.
We got knocked out against,
I think we got knocked out by the Netherlands, who went on to win it.
So no, that's U19.
Yes.
Giovanni Quenda in that.
Yes.
Missed a pen.
He missed a pen. Yeah. Yeah. My dad was pretty upset.
Really?
He was, yeah.
I'm sure that was earth shattering.
Just chilling, making my coffee, and he goes, Someone die? No.
Like the shirt today, Julian?
I was going to say, really weirdly, that Rakoba in that one picture, like in the back there, really looks like me.
This guy?
Yeah, that one picture of him.
You thought I was
I thought
you.
That was me. I thought you had me on your shirt for a second there.
I mean, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind it.
I would. I would.
I wouldn't mind a Julian no. graphic tee. with all the thumbnail poses that you gave me earlier. Just slap that on a t-shirt.
Oh, God.
No, but.
I want one of you going.
That's my go-to.
How many games of Rakoba have you watched?
How many highlights have I watched? It's probably a more fitting question.
How many would that be?
Quite a few comps. Quite a few comps.
Was he a center back?
In his Venezia and Inter days. No! His most notable moment is his debut for Inter, where he scores a fucking thunder cunt. Sorry for my language. Like a 30-yard free kick. And such high expectations.
In his first...
On his day. You want to talk about on his day?
You want to talk about on his day?
Hello, Rakoba. El Chino. You know why they call him El Chino?
Why?
Because his eyes were a little bit like a Chinese man. I swear to God, and I'm not making this up. I'm not making this up.
Is that politically correct to wear that shirt with El Chino on it?
We'll just fold this bit.
There you go. It's not on camera.
It's not on camera. Exactly.
Okay. Let's talk about Club World Cup first. We're going to go like group by group, starting with the games last night. But first, a couple of quick fire questions for you. Mm. So far, we're like halfway through the competition now. I want to give you like quick little award segment here, just off the top. What do you think is first biggest flop team of the tournament so far?
I think
biggest disappointment.
I think if there can't be another answer apart from Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
For me, in that group, sure, Botafogo have impressed beyond any expectations. But if you're Atletico Madrid, you have the opportunity to secure serious funds into your club.
Yeah.
This competition and this group seems fairly easy for you to progress. Yep. And you don't do that. And the level of football hasn't been great. Even against Seattle Sounders, I wasn't really impressed with Atletico Madrid.
I'll say Boca Juniors.
Boca Juniors is also a
Boca Juniors, team. I mean, if you're not beating Auckland City, I think you have to be in there.
For sure.
Everybody was just saying, like, it's going to be a competition between Benfica and Boca Juniors on who can score more goals against Auckland City. These motherfuckers can't even beat them.
Everybody being us.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
But at the same time, Boca Juniors have always, or not always, obviously, but lately, Boca Juniors have been kind of on the downfall. And it hasn't been the level that it used to be.
That is true.
So maybe you can justify their performances, notably against Auckland, with that argument.
How do we know how they made it into the Club World Cup?
It's a great question. Might have been a Libertadores thing.
Maybe.
From 2022.
Biggest flop player.
Biggest flop player. Oh, you're putting me on the spot here. I'd have to... Who's yours?
I haven't thought of it. This is just for you.
Biggest flop player.
Asensio.
Hey, that's a fair one.
Give away a penalty in the first.
That's
not a bad one.
Maybe.
Actually.
Is Marcus Thuram injured right now?
He came on a little bit.
He came on Inter. In the last game?
I don't know about the last game.
I know he came on in the first game and it was very bad. Like it was awful.
Yep.
But if he's not injured, it kind of seems like Esposito has taken his spot a little bit. And I was talking about how he's on a very difficult time in his career mentally. When you lose the Champions League final, you get battered in the Champions League final, then you go into the Euros and you don't play the best at all. Or no, not the Euros. You go into the international break, the Nations League, and you don't play the best at all. And then now you come back and you put out a stinky cameo against Monterrey, their first game. Maybe I could put him forward. I don't think he's injured at all. I just think he was put aside. I think Esposito has taken his spot.
So final answer?
Maybe Marcus Thuram.
Marcus Thuram.
But he hasn't really played, so like it's kind of a cop-out answer. It's like you saying Dembele is your flop player. You know what I mean?
I'm trying to like think of others. Like there's not many like standing out to me. Could say Nicholas Jackson.
Yeah.
But again, like were there crazy expectations of him coming into it?
Not really. There's not really. No, I mean,
I feel like players are showing out in this tournament.
Would you say Alvarez has been a flop player?
Julian Alvarez.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
It kind of aligns with Atletico Madrid being the flop team.
Yeah. Would you say Griezmann on those same lines? He didn't really start.
Griezmann against PSG, he struggled.
Yeah.
You could tell.
The whole team did, yeah.
But Alvarez still, like, in the game, he was still providing things.
That's fair.
Estevao? I'm kidding.
Estevao, I thought, was doing really bad, and apparently won two man of the matches in a row. It's like, I don't know. He didn't really get that, like, GA we were expecting, like, those crazy moments we were expecting. But should we have been expecting?
No, he creates chances. He's a creator.
Yeah. Didn't hear much from Estevao.
Yeah, apart from the first goal in the first game.
Yeah.
Against Pachuca?
Red Diamonds.
No, Red Diamonds.
Yeah.
I'm all over the place. No, apart from the first goal in that game against the Red Diamonds, where he kind of switches the play beautifully and it leads to a goal.
Yeah.
Not heard much, but is there really a lot of expectations on Mastantuono?
He's off to Real Madrid. I think there has to be.
Yes, there has to be, but he's also 17 years old.
Yeah,
that's how true. Much are you really counting on a 17-year-old who plays for a River Plate team who didn't even make it out of the group and weren't really expected? Were they expected? They weren't really expected, in my eyes, to make it out of the group.
I predicted it, but yeah.
How much are you really gonna, like, you don't really expect anything out
of I suppose. Best youngster?
Best youngster. Oh my God, Julian, you're putting me on the spot here. You had to give me these earlier.
No, I think there's a couple of, like, candidates.
I really like Gonzalo Garcia.
I was going to say
if you consider him a youngster. Yeah. He's 21.
No, youngster.
Rodrigo Mora, I thought, played well even though Porto are out.
That goal
against Al Ahly. Beautiful goal. Schulderup scored against Bayern. Decent.
What did I tell you about Schulderup?
And there was one more.
Estevao was actually decent, low-key.
Yeah.
Fran Garcia started for Real Madrid.
Esposito for Inter has been really good.
How old is he?
He's 19 years old.
Oh, wow.
He scored against River Plate. It was a great, very well-taken goal. A poacher's goal.
Oh, nice.
And even in the first game against Monterrey,
mm-hmm.
he played very well. And as soon as he comes off and Marcus Thuram replaces him, it's like night and day almost. I really like what he's shown in this competition so far.
Is it unfair to throw Arda Güler in there?
As best youngster? He had a performance yesterday.
He's a youngster who's been really showing out
for Real Madrid.
He's really showing that he could be a monster under Xabi Alonso,
For sure. Is it a crime to put Yildiz in there? I think
not at all.
I think Yildiz has to be the number one option, though.
Okay, I like that one, actually. Best player, like, in general.
Just the best player?
Best player, period.
Ryan
Cherki.
My biased self would say that. The best player so far... Who's yours?
Yildiz was actually going to be someone that I mentioned.
Yeah, I mean...
Although against City...
Well, he wasn't starting. That was the thing. Well, we'll get on to the City-Juve game, but I didn't like what Igor Tudor put out at all.
No.
You could say Yildiz. He's been one of them for sure.
100%.
Vitinha has been very good.
Mm.
Hakimi has been good.
Rogue pick? Like a Savinho or Doku for Man City.
Yeah, Doku's been really good. Pedro Neto's been decent as well.
Yes, that
Pedro
is
Neto
true.
He was on the bench for against Esperance too. He scored in the first two games. Pedro Neto's up there.
Yep.
If you think Real Madrid players, Dean Huijsen could be up there.
Dean Huijsen's been really impressive so far.
And even going to keepers, I thought Bono was very good so far. Bono has been very good.
Valverde's been pretty good for Real Madrid as well.
Yeah, he also missed a pen. So I was thinking Valverde, but he missed a pen. So I kind of demoted him.
I thought Tijini Reinders has looked pretty good for City.
Tijini Reinders' game, especially the third one, man.
I know.
Wow.
We're about to transition into City. Wow. But damn, dude. Like, it pisses me off how good they look.
Mm-hmm.
With so many new pieces in this squad, it's like, ugh. Anyways, best team so far.
Has to be Manchester City.
I think it has to be, as painful as that is to say.
And that game, we'll get. I mean, we can transition into this game if that was your last question.
There's one more.
I was going to say that game against Juve literally, I think, reminded a lot of people of how good City truly are.
Yeah.
Hit me with the final one.
Biggest upset.
Biggest upset has to be Botafogo against PSG.
Yeah.
I think any fan in the world that predicted that before the game started was going to be called 100%. Crazy. Like, I would have called him crazy.
Other candidates, Flamengo versus Chelsea, Benfica yes. versus Bayern.
Yeah.
Auckland against Boca Juniors. Auckland drawing against Boca Juniors. Nobody would have expected that after the first game.
No, but I think you beating the European champions.
Yeah.
As a team that was tipped to not finish.
You're right.
In the top two of that group. Exactly. I think that has to be the upset of the tournament.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Even though PSG rotated all this, they still should have done. They still should beat them.
Still. Okay. Now let's get into the games from last night, where we're going to start with Man City's blockbuster win over Juventus. I said before this group started, it's literally going to go Man City 9, Juventus 6, Al Ain 3, and Wydad Casablanca 0 points.
Although Wydad Casablanca, I think, should have been third.
Big Lorch guy.
And I like their style of play. It was unfortunate they lost to Al Ain.
Talk to me about the Man City game.
Oh my
God. What went so right for them?
Well, first of all, what went so wrong for Juve is that I did not like that lineup at all.
I
can understand that you are already qualified into the round of 16 before this game even kicks off.
Yeah.
But if you look at the table and who you play, if you finish second in that group, it's the first of the last group. And that's
Real Madrid. Now they have to play Real Madrid.
That's Real Madrid. Yeah. Any manager would look at that and think, I need to start my best players, even if I'm qualified.
And if you get a draw, I think you still go through, like, you're still top on goal difference, right?
I think
so.
Am I
wrong?
Or
think so. They scored six in their last game.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay, maybe not.
Right. But I don't care about rotating players. I don't care about... And especially against Manchester City, it's not like you're playing a Wydad Casablanca, with all due respect, where you can rotate players and still pull off a win. You're rotating players here, but you're playing Manchester City, who are probably the best team in this tournament.
100% the best team in this tournament.
I don't know why Yildiz isn't starting. I don't know why Kefren Turam isn't starting. Yep. I don't know why Colomwani, Conceição aren't starting.
Cambiasso.
There's a problem there.
I absolutely agree. I was thinking throughout the game that, like, this looks like a much more defensively solid setup. The game plan was obviously soak up the pressure and then hope that, you know, Vlahovic or Nico Gonzalez or Koop Miners can just hit something on the break. That ultimately didn't happen besides Vlahovic's one goal, but literally it was, if I just read off the stats here, it was 24 shots to 5. Two shots on target for Juventus throughout the entire game, and it was both their goals. One of them was a complete gift by Ederson.
Yeah.
It was out and out, I feel like, domination from City, and this is more a conversation of what went so right for City more than what went so wrong
100%.
For Juventus.
I mean, you were talking about how it was very, like, you could tell that Juve wanted to soak up the pressure. It says a lot that the first time that Juve beat the press and actually get it out and string three or four passes together and get it out of their own half is at the 55th minute. And I think that's what went so right for Manchester City, is that they were so relentless in the press. Whether it be Bernardo Silva initiating the press, who has been criticized a lot this season for not having his best season.
Yeah,
Mateus Nunez, who I have criticized myself, I thought had a great game. And now I'm starting to see the Pep's vision in Mateus Nunez. I still think the position that City need to recruit this summer is a right back.
Yeah.
Because you can tell that there's, in terms of all
any
the positions.
Any names you have in mind?
I don't want to put you on the spot. Not off the top of
my head. I've done that enough this episode already.
I think I'm good. But no, the relentless press of City was incredible in this game.
Yeah.
And I think we have a serious midfield duo in Tijani Reinders and Rodri.
Oh. Rodri came back yesterday and looked like he never left.
Yeah.
And I was seething at my TV watching this, because I'm like, this is so unfair. These guys are going to waltz the Premier League next season. If you are a Liverpool fan, I'm sorry, your new guys are going to take a little bit of time to adjust, and you guys will probably be fine in the long run, but you'll have no time compared to Man City. I think they're going to waltz the Premier League. If you're an Arsenal fan,
say goodbye.
Last year was your year. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
You had that one chance of Man City on the down low. Now you've lost it, and you are not getting another chance at the Premier League for another couple of years. So hopefully the CL goes well for you.
You seriously think that? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What about if you're a United fan? How are you feeling?
Brighton have had a good window so far. No, I'm kidding.
No, but I mean, in retrospect, the City's dominance. How are you feeling as a United fan?
You know what? It's tough to attach myself that much to it because this is what they do. This is what they do. And I'm also not as personally attacked by it as I was like in 2017 when they spent $350 million before the Centurion window and we were like kind of low-key competing for the title there with Mourinho. Now that we're actually so far back, I can just look at it and laugh. I can just look at it and be like, who the fuck stands a chance against this shit?
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. Maybe you can make the argument that Liverpool and Arsenal will have an advantage because their players will be a little more well-rested coming into next year. Don't really subscribe to that idea.
Yeah.
But, man, if you're a rival Premier League fan, especially watching this City team right now, you are shitting yourself.
They quite literally have two teams.
Yeah.
They literally have two teams. I mean, the fact that Marmoush can start a game, he had a decent game, I thought.
Decent one. Yeah, 7 out of 10.
Yeah, he played very well.
Yeah.
And then... You're the opposite team going into the change room trying to figure out how to stop the press, how to stop Marmoush from initiating that press, how to beat it.
Yeah. Right?
Holland comes on.
The best striker in the world comes on. Yeah.
It's long. It's
I'd
long
be
for
seething,
you.
Bro.
Yeah. Are City the big favorites in this Club World Cup now?
100%.
You think so?
I think you have to. You have to put them up there.
Yeah.
There were some questions about like, oh, you know, they just had a pretty bad season. Like, how are the new signings going to look? Do they need some time to like, you know, get used to it? It's not even the new signings. It's just like, it's the players that have like started like a little bit slow over their first couple of years at City that can, I've been telling you, can just on the fucking fly turn into world beaters. And that's exactly what's happening with Jeremy Doku, with Savinho, with Mateus Nunes. Like, oh my God. It's like, it's unfair.
I'm happy that Pep has realized that something needed to change from last year.
Yeah.
I think a big thing that he changed, and I don't know if you noticed it as well, his fullbacks. Well, he signed Ait Nouri, right?
Yep.
But who looked brilliant. Very good. Very good. But this says a lot about it. He kind of reverted back to the classic fullback system that he used to play before he employed. So we remember the Zinchenko and Joao Cancelo, how they kind of they like to sit on the edge of the midfield, right? Back in the day. I'm saying back in the day, but when he really revolutionized the left back position, it was Zinchenko and Cancelo who sat in the midfield and liked to distribute the passes from the midfield. Then he tried, once it expired, he tried when he lost Zinchenko and Joao Cancelo and saw that he didn't have that quality there anymore. He tried the center backs at left back. He tried the Gvardiols, right? The Akanjis at left back. We saw how that did in the Premier League. It had its moments. It had its moments. Gvardiol sometimes looked quite decent at left back. But now he's kind of going back to the running left backs in Ait Nouri and Mateus Nunes, who I watched them run for 90 minutes and run very effectively.
I know.
So I'm happy that Pep Guardiola changed. He figured out that he had to change something. He knew that he didn't stay stubborn in his tactics, even though they worked. There was a time where they worked. He saw that this season was considered a disaster in many respects, and he changed it. I'm happy that he realized that something needed to change.
Absolutely agree. Yeah, Man City look just scary. Yeah. We're going to get into our brackets before, but I imagine.
What did you think of Jeremy Doku?
That first goal was brilliant. Mm-hmm. Just he looks like, we've talked about a little bit, especially recently with Cherki coming in, is that City turns these players, like these tricky players, into kind of like robots a little bit. But in this tournament, I don't know what player instructions are on these
guys.
Robots. But yes, back to their tricky selves, him and Savinho looking like, I'm watching City and I'm having fun watching City. Like,
that's weird for you to say.
That's weird. It's okay. Obviously, I'm obviously hate watching to an extent every time I watch City. But what I'm saying is like the style of football is so entertaining to watch, which over the past like 2-3 years, haven't been able to say like I'm saying right now. So I'm just a fan of football. And seeing Doku and Savinio especially just show out for Man City and putting on shows that, like they have in this Club World Cup, it's really nice.
And then you have Shaqiri coming on.
And then you have Shaqiri coming on. You have Foden coming on, who grabbed a goal in this game as well. Yeah. Just fantastic.
This is a scary team.
What a goal by Savinio, by the way.
What a goal by Savinio. I kind of got carried away. I texted the group chat right away after he scored the goal. I said, there it is, goal of the tournament.
Let's relax.
It's up there. A bar down curler, please. You can't say it's not a contender.
It's like, it's not in the corner.
Did you see the Monterrey goals, though?
No, I did not, actually.
Oh, there's some bangers in there.
Really?
There's two bangers in there.
Okay, let's move on to like group E, unless you have anything else to say.
No.
Okay.
One more thing. I don't think people should diminish their thoughts on Juventus just because of this game.
Yes.
Like you said, I think it's more a thing of City being good or being so good or what went right for City than what went wrong for Juve.
If Naps was on the couch next to you, I wouldn't be fucking roasting
him. Actually, he texted me. He said, I think it was, apparently we can only farm against bad teams. Fair enough, brother.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Apologies to Inter, River Plate, and Group E. We're going to wait a little longer. Group H first.
Group
I apologize.
H, Madrid game.
Madrid game, let's go to. They beat Salzburg 3-0. Thoughts?
Their best performance in a very long time.
Agreed.
In a very, very long time. The first half especially, I saw a team that dominated. Sure, you can say it's Salzburg. You can say it's not a very good team. But Salzburg so far, or this in this tournament, now that they're out, they've impressed me. Yeah. They've impressed me. So I don't think you could say, oh, it's a Salzburg. Salzburg pressed very well. They're very organized. They pass the ball around very well. They create their chances. And I thought Real Madrid dealt with that beautifully. Yeah. In the first half, it was domination. And in the second half, they conceded a couple chances. Salzburg had a couple chances, but Real Madrid defended superbly.
It looked like a three-back that Xabi Alonso used with Tchouaméni kind of
dropping back in the middle.
Dropping back in the middle there. And it seemed like it worked a lot better because in the last two games they've played a back four. There's been some issues there. Obviously, it doesn't help when one of your center backs gets sent off after 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. But I really like the look of this Real Madrid team. Really like the look of Vinny. He looks like a glimpse of last year Vinny.
This is Vinny.
This is Vinicius Jr. that we watched yesterday.
This is the one that we missed.
Absolutely.
That first goal is taken beautifully. And the assist on the second goal, man.
Oh my goodness.
Vintage.
Vintage Vinny in this game against Salzburg. I love to see it.
Vinny is crazy. He's 24.
Vintage Vinny is like last year.
Yeah, last year Vinny.
Where was this the entire year?
I know,
but
man.
If he can pop out and show him like this, then
this
I'm excited
for
him next
this
year.
This is the 10. This might be the 10 times more he was talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, genuinely. Finally. Finally. I mean, if this is the Xabi Alonso team that we're going to get like next year or like the next couple of years, then the world has to be ready.
Yeah.
Because not just Vinny looking better. If Mbappe is like doing the same thing that Vinny said about like still pressing the opposition like Xabi Alonso is making them doing. If Trent is showing out like he did in this game, if Bellingham is playing well, if Arda Güler is the monster we think he'll turn into, Fran Garcia put in a good performance as well. If they're rolling with this like three back kind of system with Tchouaméni dropping back or whoever's there dropping back and keeping possession like this, because I think that's another impressive thing that they did. They kept possession really well on top of the pressing. They played like Bayer Leverkusen in this game.
Yeah.
And are we overreacting a little bit to game 3 of 3 in this group stage for Real Madrid? Perhaps. I could also see them putting on a stinker and going out to Juventus.
Really?
But I could see that, genuinely. But this is a really good fucking sign for them.
Yeah. And the thing that's crazy about it, too, is that this is only Xabi Alonso's third game in charge.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if I'm a Barcelona fan, I'm very worried for what's to come because the turnaround seems to be happening very, very quick.
If I'm Barcelona, I'm excited. Finally, they'll have some competition El Clasicos.
I think Barcelona fans would rather no competition.
I'm joking, obviously.
I think there's still work to be done in the midfield in this team. I still think, from what I saw against Al Hilal, that in the midfield, there still needs to be a signing or two in there just to solidify that midfield even more. Just those people that can break lines, that can distribute very easily, very flawlessly. Yeah. I think they still need one of those players in there.
100%. Standout player for you?
Yesterday?
No.
I mean,
a lot to pick from.
There's a lot to pick from. I liked Vinny. I think Vinny has to be my pick. I also liked Valverde. I also like Dean Huijsen, who I think is
going under the radar.
Man, three games in, and he already seems like he's the boss in that in that defense. There's a moment in the game where the camera cuts to him after he loses the ball, or after Arda Güler loses the ball, or he passes the ball to Arda Güler and he doesn't receive it properly, and he seriously seems upset at Arda Güler, like he's almost yelling at him.
Really?
And that's what if I'm a Real Madrid fan, that's what I want from my center backs, and especially from Dean Huijsen, who isn't a guy that you would think he's a chill guy. He isn't a guy that you would think would scream at his teammates out of frustration, right? So I'm really liking Dean Huijsen. I also really like Gonzalo Garcia. I think that's a real player. Mm-hmm. I mean, Real Madrid, we're talking, or there was rumors going around saying that Real Madrid needed a Joselu-like striker. They needed to sign a Joselu-like striker in this transfer window.
Not needed.
I don't think that you need that. I'm not saying Gonzalo Garcia is a Joselu-like striker because he isn't as tall and he's almost quicker on the ball. There's a lot of aspects that differ from Joselu's game. But if Mbappe isn't putting in the performance that you need him to, if there are things going wrong in the game, I don't mind Gonzalo Garcia coming on to try to change things. I think Real Madrid have their second striker in Gonzalo Garcia.
I absolutely agree.
He also looks, he just looks good. You know, he just looks like a legend. It's the haircut, it's the face. He just has aura. There's some aura in him.
I'm forgetting. I feel like I should remember this. Did he have his jersey tucked?
I don't think so.
I'm thinking of Fran Garcia.
Yes.
Fran Garcia. He looks good with the shirt tucked.
Yeah.
He fits the shirt tight.
Fran Garcia looks like a little pit bull.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. He played really well in this game.
Like that Joao Neves look.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. On the other side of the pitch, you had Trent at right back, mm-hmm. who put on a masterclass in this game. I think you're really starting to see that there's some big potential here for him to level up his game even more at Real Madrid.
And you know who you're not starting to see? What you're not starting to see? Liverpool fans clowning him anymore.
I was waiting for like the fail comp. I'm like, guys, what's going on? I was waiting for like the notes to see like the minute by minute mistakes. I'm not seeing that anywhere. Mm-hmm. Guys, what's going on? What happened? I thought Trent was like this gonna be this flop player that should have never left Liverpool or should have like was going to see a complete downfall in his career. Like, what's going on, guys? I thought he was a flop after his first game. What happened?
It was always going to be like that, though. You know, you just know every 100%. Single game that Trent just puts out a subpar performance, the Liverpool fans are attacking.
It'll be terrible against Juve.
Yeah.
And they'll be right back out of the woods. But hey, Liverpool fans, you just signed Kirkez. All right, that's confirmed now. Versus confirmed, obviously. You're having a generational window.
Yeah.
And we're not even in July yet. So maybe you guys can move on. Trent can move on. And we could all live happily ever after.
Hopefully.
No, it's not. But, yeah, Real Madrid looked really good in this game. Anything else to really say about it? I'm not quite sure.
I thought Salzburg could have done a little bit better in converting their chances, especially in the second half. But again, that goes to show how well Real Madrid defended and how good Courtois was in that as well.
You mentioned the PSG center back?
Juan Gadou? Yeah.
Gadou?
Yeah, very good center back. I think he's, in this tournament, he's put out his name as one of the very good up-and-coming center backs. He's tall, he's quick, he can put in a last ditch challenge, and he's clean in his tackles too, which is really good. He's good on the ball as well. I'm liking what I'm seeing with Juan Gadou.
Nice. Other one in this group was Al Hilal beating Pachuca. 2-0. I was not locked in on this game.
But it was expected though, right?
It was expected.
That was expected from what Pachuca had shown so far in this tournament.
Yeah.
Not being able to beat a 10-man Real Madrid, which is a hard task.
No.
But and not winning against Salzburg. It was expected.
So the group finishes Real Madrid first with 7 points, Al Hilal coming in second with 5. And Al Hilal wound up playing Man City. Real Madrid wound up playing Juventus.
Two good games.
Two really exciting games. I'm really excited to see. Let's move now to Group E. With Inter, River Plate, Urawa Diamonds, and Monterrey. Let's start with Monterrey. They got the 4-0 win.
Some bangers in this game. I wasn't locked into this game, but I was kind of following on FotMob, and I saw the score was 3-0. The XG was 0.31. Something like that.
And Something wrong here.
I'm thinking to myself, what kind of banger was scored in this game? And then I check in at the highlights after the game. Man, a 40-yard knuckleball screamer. Maybe not 40 yards, but great goals were scored in this game.
Let's see. I'm about to see it live. Let's see.
Let's see it.
All right, he gets the ball. That's about like literally 40 yards. Oh my goodness. Yeah. That is 40 yards out, dude. You're not even kidding. That's Ronaldo range.
That's Ronaldo range.
Oh, his teammate. You know, when someone scores a banger, the teammate will like run up to the ball and try to like knock it in the net again. And he fucking skied it.
Yeah, he skied it.
Yeah, oh my God, the knuckle on
the knuckle on that was disgusting.
What's his name? Shocker by the keeper.
What's
his
name? Beterame?
Yeah, shout out.
Too far for Beterame to think about.
I fear not.
Apparently not.
Wow. What a goal. I think it was Diosa. Diosa with the first one, actually.
Diosa?
Diosa.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure, right? Yeah. Anyways.
Good for Diosa.
Yeah, they beat Urawa Diamonds 4-0. Not that we were expecting much less.
Yeah.
And then Inter beat River Plate 2-0 to take the headlines in the group. A fight breaking out in this one.
I think that was the story of the game.
The biggest headline
of the game was the fight at the end.
Fucking Dumfries, man. He's so funny.
Are you disappointed with how Inter have played in this tournament so far?
You have to be.
I think you have to be.
I think you have to be. In this game, I mean, it took River Plate being down to 10 men to even score a goal.
Yep.
You scored two in the last 20 minutes to make it not look as bad as it really was if you watched the game. You obviously had the draw against Monterrey. You barely squeezed by Rojo Red Diamonds. And now you're about to go into a game against Fluminense. And you're a bit like, oh, you know, Fluminense, they have a little bit of a chance there.
You can't help but to think that Fluminense can do something against this Inter team.
Yeah.
And it's true because what Inter have shown in this tournament so far has not been up to Inter standards.
And you have to understand, like, yeah, new coach Christian Chivu just came in, obviously.
100%.
Taram has been disappointing a little bit. Esposito is a bright spark, you could say.
Esposito, I really like.
I do like
his goal very well.
Like the cut of his jib as well. Yeah.
Is that the new expression?
I don't want it to be. Damn. I mean,
you've used it twice so far.
Sometimes I just like, I'm running on my sentence and I just like kind of like freeze on what to say. Yeah. So I just.
Just cut the jib.
Cutting that jib, man. Bastoni with a banger as well.
What a goal.
Talk about. What a goal. You forget he can do that sometimes.
I don't think there's any other center back that can do that in the world.
Absolutely not.
There's not. I mean, that's what makes one.
That's what makes Bastoni Bastoni.
Yeah.
You can just pull that out
sometimes. If Naps was here right now, we would not be hearing the end of it.
My goodness. What did he text you after?
After the Juve game?
Yeah. Or
after the City game? He was like, I told you.
Oh, you did tell me.
Yeah.
Why did I think he was an Inter fan for a second? Because every time he's on this freaking podcast,
yeah,
he's talking about
blazing Inter. As a Juve fan, that's kind
of
crazy.
Yeah, so he didn't give you the down low about the Inter game? What he thought of that?
No,
oh, okay.
He didn't.
Yeah, I do forget he's a Juve fan sometimes. But the fight breaking out was the headline, right?
Yeah. For those who don't know, in the 90th minute, Dumfries and Acuna are on the floor and they're both trying to get up, but one of them blocks the other one from getting up, and then it starts... They all fight. Montiel gets sent off because he's talking to the ref, something like that. It's crazy. And then at the final whistle, you can see there's a shot of Dumfries and Acuna, and Dumfries is signaling Acuna to come to the dressing room, and you can see him running down. And the commentator goes, "What does he say?"
The commentator doesn't know what's going on. I'm a graduate of this commentator, but anyways, he's going, you know, this is really. So responsible of Dumfries to just get off the field as quickly as possible. This man is trying to go to the tunnel where cameras can't be seeing what's going on. Yeah. And he's waving Acuna to come fight him.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so funny. So funny. So responsible of Dumfries. Do you know who he is?
Oh, he was about to beat some ass over there, dude.
Yes. Ugh. That was the highlight of this game, 100%. I was going to ask you, if you're River Plate, are you disappointed with your Club World Cup performance?
In terms of the image that I would have wanted River Plate to show in this World Cup, maybe.
Yeah.
But me, myself, I didn't really expect much from River Plate.
Yeah. I kind of did. Honestly, I feel like if you're River Plate, you put on a strong showing against Urawa Diamonds. Before that, I think they won like 5 games in a row in their league to like end last season. Okay. So they're looking a lot better this year. Right. Vibes are pretty high. And then against Monterrey, you just knew you had to beat Monterrey. That was going to be your rival in this group. And in that game, they're dominating throughout. It's just Monterrey's defensive stableness, as you were telling me earlier, that made the game 0-0. You get a man sent off in that game. You get 2 men sent off in this Inter game. Mm-hmm. You go out kind of embarrassing yourselves, like fighting Inter Milan. You're kind of going out in disgrace. Like, you're just not showing the best you can. Like, your fans come out looking like the best part of River Plate in this tournament. And that's a bit of a shame because if I'm them, traveling all the way to America, potentially risking deportation.
That's crazy.
I'm at least wanting my team to show some heart.
Right.
And they just didn't.
Sure, fair.
They showed heart in wrong ways.
In the wrong ways.
By fighting.
By fighting, yeah.
Yes. If this was an MMA fight.
I'm sure the River Plate fans are loving that they fought.
Yes.
That's just the Argentine way of being.
If this was MMA, they'd be the best. They'd be number one in the power rankings. Yeah. But unfortunately.
It's not. Yeah.
Moving on now to Group E, is it?
The group one F, with Dortmund. Group F.
Yeah.
This is the.
Group F. Dortmund beat Ulsan HD 1-0, but that is not the headline of this group.
It's not. The headline of this group is, you can cue the sad music if you want.
Our beloved Mamelodi Sundowns.
Mamelodi Sundowns are eliminated from the Club World Cup.
They had their chances against Fluminense. They needed a win, but end 0-0, and it means they finished third in this group.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking.
What a story. Thank you to the Sundowns, however, though.
Oh.
Thank you to the Sundowns. Yep. Because if there was one thing that this Club World Cup needed was a story like the one that Sundowns brought to this World Cup. Mm. Whether it be the fans cheering them on, the 500-ish fans in the stands dancing, right? Whether it be the people online hyping up their club, whether it be the players, the vibes, the style of play that Mamelodi Sundowns brought to this Club World Cup. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, this might sound a little bit ignorant, but Mamelodi Sundowns weren't very known coming into this tournament, right? I think now, leaving this tournament, Mamelodi Sundowns can be proud that they've made a name for themselves just because of what the fans have brought and what they've shown into this tournament.
Yeah. For one last time on this podcast.
Up
the Sundowns,
up
baby.
The effing Sundowns, man.
Up
the Sundowns. The sky's the limit. Always. And I might tune into a few South African League games.
Whenever those are. Man.
Yeah.
And screw Kaizer Chiefs.
Yeah. And Orlando Pirates.
Fuck them. Up the bloody Sundowns.
Up the Sundowns. Thank you for this tournament.
It is sad. I'm a little bit in despair. But then my other club beat Bayern Munich and I'm feeling a little bit better.
Are we just skipping over Group F and going to Benfica? I'm down.
Group C now. Group C. That was the first one going on. Benfica beat Bayern 1-0. What did I tell you about Schalke, man? That's all I'm going to tell you.
What a snipe. If we wanted to make a compilation of good takes in this podcast, I think that one would be quite up there.
Thank you.
I don't know if that says a lot because it's just he scored one goal and now we're saying it's a good prediction. I don't know if that says a lot for your predictions or if it
won the game against one of the favorites of this tournament.
Messi overrated. Is that one? Is that another one? That's a bad prediction.
Johan Garcia underrated.
Fair. Yep. I'll do some more. McTominay overrated.
I stand by that.
That's crazy. Anyways,
stand by that one.
Let's stay on team.
Stand by that one. Also, my whole thing about Messi being overrated was the North American media glazing him too much.
No, you were just clip farming.
That too. But but also, the North American, like, Bleacher Report, DAZN, how much glazing have we seen from DAZN?
Fair enough, but he's not worried.
12-minute video of just a free kick on loop. Come on, lads. I'm not saying overrated as, like, from us, from, like, the general football world, but the casuals, which is a much bigger piece of the pie than you may think, still thinks he's, like, one of the best players in the world. And on that front, let's relax. If he's an 85, okay. People are calling him.
You're not justifying a 90, it. No. Get to the Benfica game.
War player, shoulder up.
What a player.
He almost scored a second, too. He had a nice little turn there. And beyond that, did not have many chances in this game. I'm going to keep it a buck. Kind of got dominated in this one.
Yeah.
Bayern Munich had many chances. Trubin pulled off an absolute masterclass in this one. Harry Kane hit the post. He had that header like right at the death of the game where he may have pushed Kocsi. That's neither here nor there. But you're fortunate coming out with a win in this one. Does this mean we top our group? I haven't even...
You do.
Oh.
You play Chelsea. What are your feelings going into this round of 16 as a Benfica fan?
I'm pretty optimistic. Yeah. I'm kind of don't know what to think. We can get smashed 3-0 against Chelsea. We could also make a semifinal.
There's a world where Benfica...
There's a path.
Go to the semifinals because you beat Chelsea and then you beat one of Palmeiras or Botafogo. You're in the semifinals.
That's what I'm saying.
You're in the semifinals.
That's what I'm saying.
Could be huge.
That could be massive. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited right now as a Benfica fan. Obviously, we could use the money if we make a semifinal, although I'm not really thinking about the money if that comes to it. But you have to consider it's important, right, with the kind of instability that we have at our club right now. Mm-hmm. My feeling at halftime of the Auckland City game versus now,
yeah,
different stratosphere, yeah, right? Like, and then obviously, like, full transparency, did not watch this game live. I was out on a date with my girlfriend. Don't hate me too much. But then came back and watched the extended highlights.
Oh, wow.
Shout out to DAZN for finally posting extended highlights. And then was really impressed. But saw the notification on my phone as mm-hmm. I'm downtown. And I'm like, what? Oh, my goodness. Like, we're actually doing it. And then double what? Because Auckland City, the maniacs,
yeah,
are drawing 1-1 against Boca Juniors.
Incredible achievement. I was sitting here a week ago saying, a couple days ago, mm-hmm. asking you who would score the most goal against Auckland City, disrespecting yeah. Auckland City as a club.
Yeah.
How dare I?
Yeah.
How dare I? Yeah. Because that bald-headed, beautiful man, whatever his name is.
The elementary school teacher. Mm-hmm.
Has put Auckland City back on the map.
Gray.
And they're not a laughing stock anymore.
Christian Gray. Like 50 Shades of Gray. Oh, man. Okay.
But yeah, put him back on the map. No more. They're not a laughing stock anymore. Or not as much as a laughing stock.
This is an embarrassment anymore. If you're Boca Juniors.
I think so, too.
This is
bad. Yeah, I think so, too. With the fans behind you, too.
41 shots. One recorded big chance.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Wow.
That's ridiculous. God.
Unreal. Shout out Auckland City, man. Hey, if we are making our pound for pound rankings 1 week later, right now, Auckland City is not 32nd.
I don't think so either.
No.
Who is 32nd? Urawa?
Urawa, Ulsan.
Yeah.
Pachuca.
Sorry, I just love saying it. They're not even a Brazilian team.
I know. But Group C ended up being very, very entertaining. And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Blake was making fun of me about Benfica. He tried roasting me.
He tried.
And now the group chat is dead silent.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Unsuccessful.
And now I feel like we have a good chance against Chelsea. And I'm excited. I'm really excited. If we finish second in this group, we end up playing Flamengo. Would that have been a better or a worse game?
Don't underestimate Flamengo.
I don't know, man.
It might be Bayern.
If we played Flamengo, we would then meet either you or Miami mm-hmm. in the semis.
Yeah.
Or the quarterfinals, sorry.
If
we finished second and got past Flamengo.
Yeah.
So, okay. Maybe I'll take this.
Don't hate on Flamengo. They might be
Chelsea.
Bayern.
It's just Chelsea,
they
lads.
They can be Bayern.
It's just Chelsea, lads.
Spoiler, maybe, per chance, of my bracket.
That'd be ridiculous.
Go ahead.
Speaking of, let's talk about their game against LAFC.
Mm-hmm.
Where
I thought they were unlucky.
They pretty much knew that they...
They were the only team after two games to be qualified to the round of 16.
Yeah.
So they didn't decide to rotate players, but I thought they were very unlucky in that they created a lot of chances, struck the frame of the goal twice, and I think they could have came away with a win here.
100% they could have. Yeah, LAFC scored in the 84th, they scored in the 86th. It was a nice, well-taken goal by Yan.
Yeah. Even Buanga took his goal very well.
Yeah, so it was two very good goals in this game. But yeah, obviously, I didn't have that on,
mm-hmm.
really. I was kind of like surveying Chelsea because I knew there was a possibility that we ended up playing them. And they ended up beating Esperance Tunis 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
Toss and header. Dilap with a well-taken goal.
And then Evil Saka. Yeah.
Grabbed one at the end there. Good little performance from
great.
Them.
Great. I really liked what I saw from Liam Dilap. I think he can flourish.
Very well taken goal.
Yeah, very, very well taken goal. I think he can flourish in this Chelsea team very nicely.
I think, yeah, he becomes the out-and-out starter very mm-hmm. soon, I
For
feel.
Sure.
Nicholas Jackson, you have used up your goodwill, I feel.
Good riddance, brother.
Good effing riddance. Anything else to say on Chelsea? Esperance de Tunis?
Another good group, I'd say.
Yeah.
But not one of the best ones.
Yes, 100%.
We'll get on to the best one.
the best one would maybe be Group A.
Group A.
Yeah.
That's what I think too.
Do you want to go Group B first?
I mean, we can briefly go over Group B.
Briefly, very briefly. PSG Atletico Madrid, talk to me about them.
I mean, you needed to win by 3 goals against Botafogo. You created a little bit of chances. I think Botafogo were unlucky. I think Atletico Madrid relied on a very, very good Oblak to save them, to keep him in the game. And then the goal ultimately just comes too late. Griezmann scores in the 87th minute. Actually qualifies PSG as first of their group. So shout out Griezmann. Will forever remain my favorite player, even when you lose. But no, they should have done the job. They didn't. They should have done the job earlier in the tournament, I want to say. They didn't. And then PSG did their job against Seattle Sounders.
They absolutely did. Kvaratskhelia with a banger.
Shout out him for my fantasy, man. Thank you, Kvaratskhelia.
Oh, and then Hakimi grabbing a second as well. Very PSG-esque goal there. Not much to say. You handle Seattle Sounders pretty well.
Yep.
And Atletico Madrid was just too little too late against Botafogo.
Exactly.
So yeah, not much there to say. What there is much to say is when it comes to Group A, which was the night games. Great vibe watching this. Great games to have double screened.
Yeah.
I did not have that.
I had the wrong game on.
Same. I had the whole time.
So I
was
switching
between the two
first half
goals.
I watched the Inter Miami Palmeiras game.
Mm-hmm.
Then I switched in the late first half to Porto Al Ahly. Then I went back in the second half to Palmeiras Inter Miami. And then when I saw it was 3-3, it was too late, brother. It was too late for
me. And
then
I missed a Suarez goal.
And then
I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, so I was. Did I even see a goal that game? But no, it was. I could have done better in my managing of the screens.
100%. Pretty poor from you.
Yeah.
Yeah. 3 goals in 4 minutes. In the Porto Al Ahly game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're watching the highlights and you see, like, the commentator get increasingly more, like, crazy as these goals happen. And some absolute bangers in these games as well. Obviously, you had Rodrigo Moura with a, can I just say, Maradona-esque goal.
Okay.
Maradona-esque.
Brother.
Maradona-esque.
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 Are we really comparing a 17-year-old to Maradona right now?
We've done that before.
How?
With Messi.
Okay. Interesting.
It was Maradona-esque. He ran through the entire team.
It wasn't
step-overs in there, just straight.
It was a very well-executed goal.
And then you also had Ben Robtan.
Ben Robtan.
Yes.
What a goal.
What a goal.
What a goal. It's a shame the video of goal of the tournament came out that day. I think he's a contender. Yeah.
He's definitely there. They had the ref cam on that one.
Oh,
beautiful.
Great addition. Great addition.
Yeah. Great addition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was losing my mind at this game as well. I believe it didn't really matter what happened in the Porto Al Ahly game if Inter Miami and Palmeiras drew.
Yeah.
Which but Palmeiras almost won it.
Exactly.
Right at the end.
So if Palmeiras wins it at the end,
Inter Miami go out?
No, because Porto Al Ahly were tied. But I think the third chance for Palmeiras comes before Porto equalize against Al Ahly.
Really?
So there's that thought, there's that little bit of hope there for Al Ahly fans that they would have been able to qualify in second place.
Yeah, that Pepe long shot I didn't mention.
Yeah.
It was okay.
It was cool.
It was cool. Cool goal.
Cool goal.
Cool goal.
Good goal. If we tier list it, it's good goal.
Good goal. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a showing from these four teams over the games.
Mm-hmm.
Before this, Al Ahly had not scored one all tournament, but they begged for it. Yeah, they hadn't scored against.
I mean, we were talking about their problems in front of goal. I think that can go out the window after this game.
Exactly.
Now it's the problems defending their goal.
I know.
I mean, that might have been the most free-flowing or just vibe ball I've seen all tournament.
Exactly.
It defending at the end of the game was optional.
Yes.
It was just run and gun. Everybody runs towards the goal, the net, trying to score one more than the other.
I've seen a lot of hate towards the Club World Cup, especially at the start of the tournament because of the whole dialogue going on. FIFA couldn't sell tickets. Stadiums were half empty. They were booking venues that they couldn't fill. And then also there were the problems that we've talked about before where this is just a money grab, power grab, a shallow attempt by FIFA to make something out of a tournament that's always been nothing, right? But I have to say throughout this group stage, it has quickly proven that if players and fans care about it,
mm-hmm.
it's only a matter of time
exactly.
for that tournament to be taken seriously.
We always
and for
say,
everybody to care about it.
We always say that the fans make the sport.
The fans make the sport.
And, it's
and
true.
Sometimes you forget that fans are much more than just a couple of English lads in a talk sport studio.
Hint, hint.
Hint, hint, Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, you were pressing me before by putting that on before the pod. I was heated listening to that guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's two very different discourses going on. And at the start of the tournament, you're really looking at like this side where it is just the English, the Europeans that aren't traveling over to the US have to watch games overnight, so aren't watching much of the football anyways.
Yeah.
And then is nitpicking the crowd sizes and, you know, the walkouts and the little like game is gone stuff that we were kind of on, but at the start of the tournament as well. But as the games happened and as the value of the tournament became clearer and clearer to us, those little calls of the like little nitpicks got yeah. more and more shallow in my opinion.
100%. 100%.
Because they would also say in the same breath, yeah, I haven't watched any of the games.
Like, are you
then,
serious?
Then what are you doing?
Then what are you doing?
Why are you a paid professional football commentator not even trying to pay attention to this one? I understand lives are busy, but you're a paid professional being paid to talk about the Club World Cup every single day, and you're not even putting an effort into giving it a try, right? And on the other side, you have the fans that you don't see all the time. Are not talking about the Arsenals or the Man Cities or the PSGs, right? But it'll be the Boca fans, it'll be the River Plate fans, it'll be the Sundowns fans, mm-hmm. it'll be the Urawa Diamonds, a rival fan that traveled all the way across the world just to hate watch his team.
That's beautiful.
That is the side of the tournament that we were not that privy to
mm-hmm.
only 3 short weeks ago. But they came out, they showed out, and I think they really sold me on the idea, I'm now like somewhere in the middle between these two polar opposites, that this tournament has like extreme value.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of questions about like, is the team that wins the Club World Cup going to be regarded as the best team in the world? I don't know. Are we going to remember this Club World Cup for years and years to come? Are we going to be, you know, like foaming at the mouths for, you know, the 2029 edition of the Club World Cup? Those are questions yet to be answered.
Yeah.
But I have to say, my expectations going in the Club World Cup have been vastly surpassed, not even just because I'm watching, you know, the big teams, not because of that at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I'm watching Al Ahly and Porto, teams I've never played each other, going 4-4. I'm seeing Inter Miami versus Palmeiras.
Dortmund Sundowns,
yeah. Right? Boca against Bayern.
Yeah.
Amazing games. And 100%. The fans in the stadium for those games have been selling this for me. So hard.
Yeah.
Right? So I feel like the detractors now are kind of just going to be the haters that are always going to be there. Or just haven't even tried this tournament and will never try this tournament.
100%.
And for those people, I have to say, you're anti-football.
They are.
You're anti-football.
They claim that they're football, but they're not.
You're anti-football.
They don't like football.
If you are not at least giving the Club World Cup a try, you're anti-football.
I totally agree.
Yeah. And it's really taught me as well that, oh, wait, yeah, like there is a whole different world of football outside of just Europe.
Mm-hmm. I think it serves as a reminder for people that outside of Europe, there truly is still that passion and probably even more passion, if we're being honest, than European football. I mean,
yeah,
you see all these Brazilian fans, all of the South Korean fans, all the Japanese fans, the Urawa fans went crazy in this tournament.
Yes.
I mean, it just serves as a good reminder that football truly is a global game.
Yes.
And it transcends just Europe, you know?
Exactly. It is the world game, which I kind of forget about sometimes because I just think of it as like English,
mm-hmm.
you know, French, German.
100%.
You know, those guys aren't really caring much about this tournament, but the world clearly is.
And that's all that matters.
So obviously we have to see how the knockout stages go. We have to see how kind of this tournament is kind of remembered. We'll address all the issues at the end of the tournament and give it like a proper review, but rant over.
Love a little Julian rant. Love a little Julian
bracket.
Huh?
Let's move on to our bracket.
Little bracket?
Yes. We're going to go we're going to give Champions League style. We're going to go round of 16, quarterfinals, semifinals, final. Give me your winner. We're going to go one. You do your whole bracket, then I'll do my whole bracket. You have this like ready to go, don't you?
Yeah, you don't?
I'm low-key going off the cuff.
I'm only torn on one matchup.
Yeah?
I think. Yeah, I'm only torn on one matchup.
Okay.
Are we ready? You want to start?
Nah, you start.
All right. Palmeiras Botafogo. I think from what I've seen so far, Botafogo have shown more. And the last time that they played, it was 0-0. Botafogo. I think Botafogo is going to do the job.
Mm. Okay.
Benfica Chelsea. It's going to be a tight game. This is a very interesting game. I think it could go both ways. I think this is a game that can go both ways. I like what Benfica showed against Bayern Munich. I still think Chelsea's going to win. I think Chelsea will narrowly beat Benfica and move on to the quarterfinals against Botafogo. Inter Fluminense. I think the first upset of the tournament happens here. It's Fluminense beating Inter. I'm not sold on how Inter have been playing so far.
I just knew you were going
to have it. They relied on a last-minute goal to beat Urawa Red Diamonds. They relied on a man needing to be sent off to score against River Plate. I'm not sold at all. Christian Kivu Ball needs to flourish a little more for me to be sold on this Inter team. I have Fluminense beating them, who have shown great things against Dortmund, against Sundowns, and against Ulsan. So Fluminense move on to the quarterfinals. Mm. Manchester City, Al Hilal. This is going to be a great game to watch. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited to watch this game. I just think you can't look past Manchester City. As good as Al Hilal have played on and off the ball, Manchester City is just a different beast. They're going to beat Al Hilal. Mm. PSG Inter Miami, Messi returning to play against PSG, his old club. PSG is going to do the job.
Yeah,
I agree. There's a lot of talk about Miami's going to prove everyone wrong. Let's be honest, guys. At the end of the day, it's the European champions against a team that hasn't even won MLS.
Yeah.
PSG wins this one. Flamengo Bayern, I think, can also go both ways. Do not be surprised if Flamengo beats Bayern in this game.
I think everybody would be surprised.
I don't think you should be surprised, is what I'm telling you. Because from what Flamengo have shown in this tournament so far, against Chelsea, against Esperance, and even against LAFC, where I thought they were a little bit unlucky, I think they can beat Bayern Munich. Do I think they will beat Bayern Munich? No. I think Bayern Munich have what it takes to beat Flamengo.
Valid.
Just the experience and, you know, the German mentality will do it. Dortmund-Monterrey is another game where I could see it going both ways. I'm not sold on what Dortmund have showed me in this tournament so far. I can appreciate what Monterrey have shown me in this tournament so far. However, I still think the European history, the European excellence will win this tournament and this matchup. I have Dortmund beating Monterrey. Mm. Real Madrid Juve. This is the game of the round of 16. This is the headline to watch out for. Real Madrid beat Juve. Although I do like what Juve has shown me this tournament so far. It's going to be a closer game than people think.
100%.
City battered Juve, but that's only because Juve weren't playing their best players. But Real Madrid to do the job.
Yeah.
Moving on to the quarterfinals. Botafogo against Chelsea. Will we see a Brazilian team, a non-European team in the semifinals? I don't think it will be the case with Botafogo. I think Chelsea's
going to the semis,
I think Chelsea beats Botafogo and go to the semifinals. The fairy tale run of Botafogo ends here. And so does the fairy tale run of Fluminense, because City will just outmatch them, I think. Yep. I think City is just way too good for Fluminense.
Yep.
Shout out Arias. Great goal. And you're good for my fantasy as well. City go through against Fluminense. PSG against Bayern. What a game.
What a game.
Great game. I think PSG beat Bayern in this game. I think a lot of people have kind of maybe forgotten how good PSG can be just because Botafogo beat them. It was a big talk. Botafogo upset the European champions. But PSG is, again, a different beast, kind of like Manchester City. PSG will beat Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
Dortmund against Real Madrid. This is where Dortmund's run ends. Mm. Again, I said they're not showing me a lot in this tournament. I think you beat Monterrey because you're just a better team on paper. But Real Madrid to the semifinals. The first semifinal is Chelsea-Manchester City. Everyone knows how that's going.
Yeah.
I think the game against Juve has reminded a lot of people how good Manchester City truly is.
Mm-hmm.
They pretty much, we've said this before, they pretty much have two teams. When someone isn't performing well, if Marmoush isn't performing well, you sub on Haaland at halftime.
Literally, bro.
And vice versa. It's incredible. They're going to reach the finals, no doubt in my mind. PSG, Real Madrid, on the other hand, this is very interesting. Do we trust Real Madrid's perennial winning mentality and the fact that they always pull through in these tournaments, in these knockout style tournaments? Or do we trust this incredible style of play of PSG? I'm going to go with the latter. I think the final is going to be PSG, Real Madrid, PSG City, PSG move on against Real Madrid. And then the final, this final would probably be one of the games of the season, if 100%. We're being honest. I mean,
I'd be really hyped for this game.
A City team that looks like they're back to their best.
Yeah.
And a PSG team who have just had an historic season.
Yeah.
I think PSG capped this season off with a Club World Cup. And it goes down as one of the best seasons in a long, long time. In a very long time. PSG to win the Club World Cup.
No bias?
No bias at all. And I seriously think that. If I wasn't a PSG fan, I'd also think that.
That's fair. Am I a little bit too high on City? Are like people too high on City? Maybe. But I do really see them as like the dogs in this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on to my bracket then.
Let's hear it.
Okay.
A little Benfica glaze in there. I know
I'm going to start with the Benfica game, actually.
Really? Why? No, start in order. Start in order.
The more controversial one, just start.
Yes, but...
Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah. Fine. Palmeiras versus Botafogo. Palmeiras have really matured over the past couple of games. It seems like they're getting better game by game. But Botafogo, I feel like, are just going to like hit him on the break or something. Just get a result. They're better than Palmeiras in Brazil. That's a complete guess. I actually don't. They are?
Botafogo?
Botafogo?
I think Palmeiras is above them. But from what they've shown in this tournament so far, I don't think it's crazy.
From what they've shown in this tournament so far, Botafogo is going to beat Palmeiras. I'm pretty confident of that. Benfica versus Chelsea.
Hello.
Benfica get it done, baby.
Okay.
Benfica are going to the quarterfinals to play against Botafogo. Chelsea are going to disappoint once again. And Benfica is going to go on a fairy tale run. Next is Inter against Fluminense. Like you said, I think the fairy tale run of Fluminense kind of takes a little bit of a stop right here. I think it's good that they're in the tournament as well. They survived the Sundowns.
They did.
But Inter Milan, even though they're not looking the best right now, I think they're not bad enough to lose to Fluminense.
Surely not.
Surely not, right? Then you have Man City against Al Hilal. I have Man City winning that pretty comfortably. I really struggle to not see City at least going to a semifinal. Next is PSG versus Inter Miami. Messi playing against his former team. PSG absolutely wipe them. Embarrass them.
Really?
I hope so. Flamengo against Bayern. Flamengo are going to make it tough. Flamengo may even be up at some point in this game, but Bayern are going to get it done. Same with Dortmund. It's going to look a little bit tricky against Monterrey. Monterrey are very, very solid, but Dortmund eventually is going to break that down, and Dortmund is going to go through. Juve against Real Madrid. Give me Juventus.
Wow.
Give me Juventus. I think even though Real Madrid looked really, really good in their last game under Xabi Alonso, it's inconsistent. They have stretches of the game where they look really good. They have stretches of the game where they look really bad. They have stretches of games in general. They're just very, like, very unstable. I don't know how they're going to look in this well-run Juventus team who has been pretty good in the Club World Cup outside of playing Man City. Am I overrating them? Mm-hmm. Perchance.
We'll see.
Perchance.
We'll see. This is the beauty of a prediction.
It's the beauty of a prediction. Moving on to Botafogo against Benfica. I think this is going to be really, really close. But I have Benfica going through to the semifinals.
Wow.
It's a fantastic moment for us. And it is the moment that I realized that the Club World Cup is actually the biggest competition in the world and we're one of the best teams in the world. Anyways.
All right, brother.
Inter Milan against Manchester City. I think Man City make this one look very, very simple. Inter's poor form finally shows itself and they get punished for it. Man City comfortably go past Inter to move on to the semifinal. PSG against Bayern Munich. Give me PSG. I agree with you on the fact that we mustn't forget that they are like the best team in Europe by far at the moment. And Juventus against Borussia Dortmund. Give me Juventus there. That sets up a semifinal of Benfica against Man City and PSG against Juventus. On the left side of the bracket, I have to go for Man City here. The fairy tale run of Benfica ends. I don't even think this game is even that close. I think Man City is that good, and they're easily going to the Club World Cup final. In PSG's case, it'll be a little bit tougher to deal with Juventus, but you guys get it done as well, and I have the exact same final as you, Antoine. Final of Man City against Juventus. No, PSG. A final of Man City against PSG. But I believe Man City will take it.
Wow.
I believe Man City will get it done. I think PSG, like, I think you guys are fantastic, but if PSG, or I'm sorry, if Man City keep this up, if they're playing the way that I saw them play against Juventus, who have been amazing in this Club World Cup in their own right, I think maybe it's your tired legs. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the fact that they figure you out. I don't know what particularly it'll be, but I think they come in and they show the world that City are back. And I'll hate it. As a United fan myself, I will hate it. But I have Man City winning the Club World Cup.
So City defend their title.
Yes, they do.
Beautiful.
And they'll do it.
Wow. Few things to touch on still.
Fantasy.
And I'm very upset that you didn't mention one thing.
Lyon?
Yes.
Are they relegated? Are they not relegated?
Lyon is What's relegated. Happening? Lyon is relegated, and it can get even worse for them. It seriously can. It might be like a Bordeaux situation. You know about the Bordeaux situation?
I do.
Now they're National 2 or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah. So if you guys don't remember, in December, Lyon were given a provisional relegation because of their debts from the DNCG, which is the company or the body of that takes care of the finances of clubs in France.
Oh, yeah. Right?
So the DNCG give them a provisional relegation saying that if you don't recover enough of your debt by June 25th or 24th, whatever day it was, you will be relegated into Ligue 2. We know that John Texter is the owner of Lyon.
We do know that.
He also is the owner of Botafogo and he was the owner of Crystal Palace.
Yes.
So he basically just transfers money between all three clubs. He tries to do this trading thing anyways. So the DNCG have a meeting with every team every year to find out their budgets, their provisional budgets. And what they asked from every club was to give a guaranteed budget, a budget that includes guaranteed salaries, transfer budgets, everything, payroll, everything. You needed to have a guaranteed budget to put forward to the DNCG. And Lyon is the only team that had speculative budget, that presented a speculative budget to the DNCG, saying that John Texter put out basically, I'm going to sell this player from Botafogo, I'm going to reinject the money into Lyon, I'm going to do this, I will do this. It's all speculative. They needed to have concrete evidence of this budget, and they did not have it. So this upset the DNCG, obviously, because they wanted concrete evidence. They didn't get it, and now Lyon is facing relegation. They are getting relegated. It can get even worse because their debt is of 500 million euros, around there. They're in 500 million euro debt. And in Ligue 2, I don't think it'll be enough to operate a successful Ligue 2 team. As crazy as it sounds, they're going to have to sell players. They're going to have to let people go. People that work for Lyon will have to get fired. They won't be able to keep up with the standards that they've been trying to keep up with for the last few years. And it's genuinely worrying because this is a team, this is one of the biggest teams in French football history, if we're being honest. I mean, perennial winners in the 2010s, in the 2000s. We all remember the Benzema.
Of course.
The Juninho free kicks, all that, man. I mean, the Champions League runs. This is a huge French team that is going down into Ligue 2 and might even go down into National is the National League.
What? So if this was like maybe an English team or I feel like most teams, the owner would find a way to just inject cash and save the situation before it even gets this bad. What is kind of the rule there that makes this different where John Textor can't just come in and just throw his money at this problem?
Well, he can. And that's the problem is that
he's refusing to?
He's not. You get that sense that he's refusing to because he's acting too late on trying to reimburse this debt. We saw that he sold his shares of Crystal Palace a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Right? He sold his shares of Crystal Palace 4 days before his meeting with the DNCG. So he sold 200 million worth, 200 million euros worth of his shares, right? So, but the thing is in England is that it takes 1 to 3 months to even approve the selling of your shares.
Yeah.
So he didn't have that in time. So the 200 million that he could have reinjected into Lyon, he didn't do it in time to get the debt down, right? Because the Premier League can't approve of it. So it seems like he just waits. He just waited too long. He had to do what he is doing before. And now you see him celebrating with Botafogo, dancing that they're in the Club World Cup round of 16. And as for Lyon fans, it's a slap in the face. It's a slap in the face because he clearly has a favorite team. I'm seriously wondering if Botafogo beat Palmeiras in the round of 16, if we're going to see him celebrating, if we're going to see him dancing, because his other club is in shambles. There's serious risk of Lyon not being a professional team in a couple of years.
Yeah.
This is massive. This is bigger than people think.
Wow. So today I saw the provisional Ligue 1 schedule and Lyon had games.
I think it's just the placeholder there. It's going to go to the team that gets promoted back because Lyon is...
And promoted is not sorted yet?
I think the talk right now is that it's going to be Metz. So the lowest or the highest ranked team of the promoted teams.
Lovely.
Of the demoted teams.
I still just don't understand how they got to the situation in the first place. Like, I don't understand how, like, why he can't just pay his way out of this situation.
It's a lot of money, first of all. And it also has to do, I'm not as informed on this, but the previous owner, his name was Jean-Michel Aulas, legendary owner for the club, but in his last few years it was very shaky. He started to take bad decisions. That's what started the debt, and then it just snowballed into something even bigger. So they can still appeal the decision, but spoiler alert to anyone that has hope, it's not gonna go well.
Yeah,
the appeal isn't gonna go in their favor at all.
Oh wow,
they're relegated. I view Lyon as a relegated team.
Wow,
and it hurts, man. It's like,
bro,
dude,
what?
This is. You think of the biggest games in France, you think of Lyon against Marseille. That's the Olympico. That is a huge derby.
Yeah.
And we're not going to have that anymore.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's crazy.
That is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, man.
It's just money-hungry owners killing clubs.
Do you have stricter FFP rules than other leagues?
I believe they're the same. I mean,
damn.
I'm pretty sure Lyon is also banned of making transfers. Because of a $2,000 debt.
€2,000
debt.
Okay, so it's much stricter then.
Well, no, because it was UEFA that banned them.
Oh.
It's not the French. Bro. It's complicated. Even I'm getting lost in the explanations.
Did they make Europe?
They're in Europa League, but now it's...
But they might get banned from
that too. They might not participate in the Europa League.
Who makes it in their place, do we know?
No, I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn, dude. This is really sad.
Yeah. In other news, how the fantasy doing?
Oh, man. Don't hit me with the fantasy now. Fantasy's not looking good, dude. Let me pull it up. There are other football stories, like, kind of been keeping up with. Like, Jadon Sancho is demanding, I think it was like £200,000 a week from...
Damn.
Juventus and from these teams that were interested in him, and now like it's genuinely stopping his transfer from United just because he's being a greedy little shit.
Wow.
Fuck that guy. Anyways, Club World Cup fantasy. Have you taken a peek at this?
I've taken a peek at my points. I don't have it on my computer, but I have it on my phone.
Okay, let's pull up the league. This is my first time looking at this. I'm like wincing. Okay. I didn't come last this week. I am 7 points behind Blake.
Okay.
I'm doing my best with 59 points. We'll go from like total points up. I'm doing my best. Came in third place this week, like overall.
Right.
He's now at 159 points. He had Sommer for 7, Hoisin for 7, Bastoni for 13.
Wow.
Big up myself. Wow. Wow. Elise with 1, Vatashkelia captain with 18.
18. Beautiful.
Arias blanked.
Yeah.
Ademi blanked. Luis Araujo I brought in blanked. And then Samu got 6, Alvarez got 5, Palmer did not even freaking play.
Unbelievable.
So I got to make a bunch of transfers with the extra budget and the extra free transfers
free
we
transfers,
got.
Yeah.
Because half my team is freaking eliminated now.
Mm-hmm.
But a solid showing. I feel like
the come up is evident.
He's starting to get up on his feet now.
He's starting to understand the rules. He took the rule refresher course, and now it's the come up is evident.
Yes. The Rodrigo's to Arsenal team is looking okay.
Yeah,
Nuno Mendes for 7.
How many points this week?
He had 52.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was the defenders actually that delivered most of his points.
Mm-hmm.
His 6 midfielders and attackers, only 2 of them got anything.
Wow.
Yeah. Nuno Mendes was 7. Oblak with 8.
Yeah.
Trent with 7.
Mm-hmm.
Hoisin with 7.
Mm-hmm.
Montiel with -1.
Oof,
De Asqueta with 3. Alan Tsuari with 9.
Yeah.
Elise with 1. Vitinha with 6. Great assist. Great assist.
Great assist.
Kane with 1. And Omar Marmoush, captain.
Wow.
For 4. Yikers.
I guess he just chained the captain until the end. It didn't work out.
And it did not work out.
Yep.
That's tough. Should have put it on Alan Tsuari.
Fair.
An okay week for him. He has to make some transfers as well. He only has 2 players that are now eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see what kind of changes the Rodrigo's to Arsenal's team makes. The Rodrigo's to Arsenal is actually
very possible.
It is possible. But also, I was going to say, right now he's in Boston. A little busy with like Fan First Network stuff.
Right.
Possibility he misses the deadline.
60%? It's very high.
Antoine, please don't remind
me. I won't remind him.
Please don't remind him.
Hey, I'm an in-person coach. I don't do online coaching.
And this is what happens when you're here for fantasy every week.
Exactly.
A reminder of the improvements you need to make. You take notes on what other people are doing,
uh-huh.
et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And this is really the difference that separates I'm doing my best from Rodrigo's Arsenal, and ultimately why Rodrigo's Arsenal will once again be bottom of the fantasy league.
And we still haven't figured out a forfeit.
Yeah, we should figure out a forfeit there.
Yeah.
Anyways, Mamelodi Miles.
Rest in peace.
Oh my goodness.
He cooked, right?
He played a chip.
Yeah.
He played, I believe this is triple captain.
This is anytime captain or any captain. Maximum captain, that's what it's called. It's just the player that has the most points is automatically captain.
Ah, okay. So Hakimi with a big 28 points mm-hmm. for Mamelodi Miles, which is really fortunate because outside of that, he had almost nothing. He also had Bastoni for 13, actually.
Yeah.
But besides that, almost nothing. Sommer for 7. Vitinha for 6. Great assist. But beyond that, nobody. Absolutely nobody. And he has 3 guys now that are eliminated, or 4 guys now that are eliminated from the tournament. And he has to make those changes. We look forward to seeing what those are. A decent showing from him. He ended up with 69 points that actually ended up besting you by one single point. He is 20 points back on you.
Yeah.
Worried?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
And first in the league is Mastestuoning you still. You also put max captain on Hakimi.
Yep. Well, I got put automatically, but I applied the chip.
Okay. Kobo with 8. Alex Telles with 7.
Alex Telles, by the way, has been my standout player of the season so far.
Yeah.
In fantasy.
Of the season.
of the tournament, I mean.
Vatashkelia with 9. Mastatuna with 2. Dasketa with 3. Arias with 2. Gluk with 3. Esavat with 2. Garassi 4. Just like Miles, very underwhelming.
Yeah, underwhelming apart from the captain. Shout out Hakimi.
Yes.
And Kvaratskhelia.
Harry Kane didn't play. Carreras.
Kvaratskhelia, I thought, took his goal very well. Sorry.
You said it so seriously, it took me a second. Yes. His dick took that goal very
I think
well.
It was his ass.
Oh, his ass took it very seriously. Very well, I should say.
Very well.
Pause. Anyway. And that'll do it for Club World Cup Fantasy.
Beautiful.
I'm doing my best managers feeling better about Club World Cup Fantasy.
Really?
I am. I'm going to lock in my transfers as I'm like editing pod. Mm-hmm. And now I'm looking forward to this. All right. Anyways, though, that'll do it for this episode of the Six Star Box Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoyed. And we hope you enjoyed the whole group stage of this Club World Cup. I know a couple of question marks in the air of do people like it? Do people not? How are you enjoying it? You can let us know down in the comments on YouTube, or you can give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Let us know how you're enjoying the Club World Cup. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, hit that big red button so you never miss another episode of the Six Star Box Podcast. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, this has been myself. This has been Antoine, and we will see you all very soon.
We out.
Goodbye.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.